ever ignore or minimize the Lord's Supper. Certainly we shouldn't. No, we don't want to. But today, we're going to take an opportunity to emphasize it perhaps throughout our worship service in a way that we sometimes don't. That means that there are going to be some changes in the way the worship service looks today. And the men who are participating have all been briefed on this, and they'll be ready to do the things that hopefully will contribute to our being able to worship together in a way that's both orderly and meaningful. I want to start off today thinking a little bit about what it means to discern. This is a word that I've come to appreciate more and more as time goes on because it indicates thoughtfulness and judgment. Not judgment in that final judgment separating the sheep from the goats variety, but judgment in the sense of being aware of the impact of what we're doing and doing that in the most thoughtful way possible. Making decisions between good, better, and best, and not just right and wrong. When the Apostle Paul talks about the Lord's Supper in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, he uses this kind of phraseology. He says it's important to discern the body, and that's the title of the lesson today, to discern the body. But it seems to me that in this context, there's a whole lot that Paul is encouraging us to use discernment related to. And I want us to think, first of all, about the way that this block of text begins in chapter 11 of 1 Corinthians, beginning in verse 17. Paul is speaking to a situation where there is apparent abuse. The Lord's Supper is not being observed in the way that Jesus had intended for it to be. And so Paul speaks, as he frequently does, very directly to that. And he says in verse 17, "In the following instruction, I do not commend you." And he goes on to talk about some of their abuses of the Lord's Supper. They've turned it into a big feast where they are not considering others who should be observing it together with them. They're not waiting. It's become more of an opportunity to see what you can ingest, perhaps. But notice what Paul says here. He makes reference to instruction. There are right ways to do the things that God has called us to do. And there are wrong ways to do that. And the emphasis in this first part of this section of text is about wrong ways. And he's going to come back and he's going to say, now, here's the right way. Now, I know that there are times when we may resent being told to do things. I'm not a big fan of it myself, okay? I mean, I like to do what I want to do. I don't want to have to do what other people want me to do necessarily. But at the same time, I don't want to live in an instructionless world. The times in my life when I have been most frustrated are those times when I wasn't sure exactly what I was supposed to do. Am I doing this the way it ought to be done or not? I guarantee you we don't want to live in a world without instruction. Because in order for there to be discernment, there must be instruction. There must be some indication of what is the right thing to do and what's the right way to do it. And then we have the opportunity to reflect on our circumstances and situation and decide, okay, this is how I'm going to approach this because I have an indicator that this is in harmony with the will of God. This is what I ought to do, and I'm going to choose to do what I ought to do instead of something else. God has given us instruction. Paul alludes to this later on as he's talking to the Philippians, and he says, "That which you have seen and heard in me, put it into practice. Not just the things that I've told you to do, but the ways that I have modeled the doing of it. Put these things into practice." When we go to the Lord's Supper, we frequently have someone stand up here at the table and they will talk about what Jesus did when he instituted the Lord's Supper. That institution is very, very important because it shows us, it instructs us what God wants to see happen at that moment. And we want to replicate that in appropriate ways at the time that we observe the Lord's Supper today because we have been given instructions which are designed to help that opportunity be as significant and meaningful as it was when Jesus sat down at that table for the first time with these disciples and said, you know, there's going to come a time when I'm not going to be here. That time when I'm not going to be here is going to follow a time when the most dramatic moment in human history took place. and I am sacrificed for the sins of the world. When you get back together without me, I want you to remember. And this is what I want you to do as you remember that. This is the way that I want to stimulate your memory of what I have done for you. Those instructions are powerful because they come from the Lord Himself. And they help us to do things in ways that God wants them to done. Helps us to remember the things that God wants us to remember. Helps us to invoke the feelings that are associated with that powerful moment. In verse 23 then, Paul here in this text contrasts the instructions that they have disregarded with the instructions that he now shares. He says, I received from the Lord what I delivered to you. And then he goes on to describe the Lord's Supper. This is why we do what we do, and this is how we do that, because these things were delivered from Jesus to his disciples. Paul says, I got to get that same instruction directly from the Lord Himself. And so this is what we do, and this is how we do it. Today, as we observe the Lord's Supper together in just a little while, I want us to remember and be thankful for the instruction that we have from the Lord.
By Christ.